This is Daylight Magazine, coming to you from Adventist World Radio Ghana, the voice of hope.
AWR Ghana, voice of hope. Voice of
hope. Today's Daylight Magazine has segment designed with you in mind. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Hello, my dear listener. Our message for today is titled, God Begins Anew with Seth. Our Bible verse is from Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 to Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. God had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Adam begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Amen. To Adam was given another son, to be the inheritor of the divine promise, the heir of the spiritual birthright. The name Seth, given to this son, signified appointment or compensation. For said the mother, God hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Seth was of more noble stature than Cain or Abel, and resembled Adam more closely than his other sons. He was a worthy character, following in the steps of Abel, yet he inherited no more natural goodness than did Cain. Concerning the creation of Adam, it is said, in the likeness of God made he him, that Adam after the fall begat a son, in his own likeness, after his image. The Sabbath was honored by all the children of Adam that remained loyal to God. But Cain and his descendants did not respect the day upon which God had rested. They chose their own time for labor and for rest, regardless of Jehovah's express command. For some time, the two classes remained separate. The race of Cain spreading from the place of their first settlement dispersed over the plains and valleys where the children of Seth had dwelt, and the latter, in order to escape from their contaminating influence, withdrew to the mountains and there made their home. But in the lapse of time, they ventured little by little to mingle with the inhabitants of the valley. This association was productive of the worst results. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. The children of Seth, attracted by the beauty of the daughters of kings' descendants, displeased the Lord by intermarrying with them. Many of the worshippers of God were beguiled into sin by the allurements that were now constantly before them, and they lost their holy, peculiar character. For nearly 1,000 years, Adam lived among his disciples, a witness to the results of sin. Faithfully, he sought to stem the tide of evil. He witnessed the widespread corruption that was finally to cause the destruction of the world by a flood. And though the sentence of death pronounced upon him by his Maker had at first appeared terrible, yet after beholding for nearly 1,000 years the results of sin, he felt that it was merciful in God to bring to an end a life of suffering and sorrow. Amen. Our message was written by Ellen Chin White and was presented by Emmanuel Abrefu-Mensa.
You are about to listen to a discussion on the topic fats and oils. This is the sixth part.
In type 1 diabetes, you are not able to produce insulin at all. So you become insulin dependent. You would have to be, you become dependent on insulin. In that every day you have to inject insulin into your system before glucose can be moved from your blood to your system.
All because of bad eating habits.
And sedentary lifestyle.
We have a few questions from listeners. Let's look at them. This is coming from Joe inside Medina. Hello, good evening. Please, from your description, liquid fats are the healthy ones. So since liquid fat is used in preparing fried rice, then why do we say the fried rice is not healthy?
Okay, you see, unsaturated fats are expensive. Am I right? Yeah. Unsaturated fats are expensive. And I don't think those who sell fried rice will use unsaturated fats.
Yeah, I think the listener is confusing the saturated and unsaturated with fats and oils.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You see, with the saturated fats, there are some that come in the form of oils, the commercial oils we use. And I don't want to mention any brand name. I'm not spoiling anybody's products. But then most of the oils we purchase for our cooking are the saturated fats. If you get the bigger gallons, you realize those that have stayed in the shop for long, you realize that when you pour at the bottom, there's a lot of fat there. And even with the market women, they are very condensed. You see that you cannot see through it, the oils. But with the unsaturated oils, we make some of them. Some of them are made into oils so that we can use them to replace these ones in our cooking. And you see, they are usually the ones that are very light in color. They are not as yellowish as the others, because some of them too can stay on the shelf for long without turning into fats. But that doesn't make them unsaturated. So you have to watch for the source of the fat of the oil that you are using, because with the unsaturated ones, they'll write about it that it's olive oil or sunflower oil or soybean oil. Those ones are the better choices because we get unsaturated fats from those sources.
Okay.
But then with the others, you realize that their sources are questionable.
Okay.
And they even say that they are hydrogenated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even that time, before you go to the next one.
Yeah, and also, even though you might be using the good oil, the olive oil and sunflower oil in cooking, the mistake that most of us do is that most at times, when we are buying these oils, we buy the ones that are outside the shops. Any product that is in the sun, that is not good. Research has shown that when you are cooking with this olive and then sunflower oil, and you tend to overheat them, they are equally as dangerous as them.
As grease.
Yeah. So if you are using them to cook, then you should be careful how you cook it. You know, most of the times when you're preparing stew, you pour the oil, then you put onions into it, and you leave it there for quite some time before the other things go into it. They are not supposed to be that way. When you overcook them, they are just equal to the saturated ones that we are talking about.
So, one is also asking, who? Please, does my body always need fats? Briefly.
Yeah, you need fats. Yeah, you need fats because they are part of the major food nutrients. Yeah, and you need good fats.
Before you go and start licking margarine. Okay, another one. Please, do all fats have the same number of calories? And how will I know the number of calories in a fat? What do you need that for? Anyway, that's from Bright Chumesi Islegon. He's asking how he will know the number of calories in a particular fat and whether all fats have the same calories.
Yeah, I think every fats are fats. So the calculation was then based on the broad category of fats. So they all give you 9 calories per gram.
Okay.
So if he wants to measure, if you take every gram of fat, you have 9 calories in it. Yeah, that's the unit of measurement for it.
Okay.
I think also he should be reading the labels on the products, okay. And you'll get more.
And another one, what's the difference between fats and oils? I think we talked about it, but maybe Judith wasn't listening or wasn't by the radio. So, Rosemond.
Okay. So, fats are solid at room temperature, which means when you leave them on your kitchen shelf, minus the air conditioning and everything, in the normal room temperature, they are solid. Like the way we see with the cheese and margarine and the rest. But then oils are liquid at room temperature, which means what we usually use to cook when you on the table, it is liquid. You can pour it. Yes. But then that doesn't mean that fats are good and oils are bad, or oils are bad and fats are good. It's just a state in which they can be, whether liquid or solid.
But when you talk about the good, it is the saturated and unsaturated. And we have learned that most of the unsaturated
are good
from plant sources. Okay. This one is coming from Kwejua Santi Rizjanshin. Good evening. Please, are all food labeled trans fats? Free healthy foods. No, trans fat free healthy foods.
Okay, yeah, I think we said trans fats and then saturated fats, they all provide bad cholesterol, bad fats. Yeah, so once it's
trans fat free,
it means it's unsaturated.
But as to whether you may not know what other things have been added, so.
Yeah, I think then also they should look at the source, because with the sources that we gave, in Ghana, what we normally find is the soybean oil, the olive oil, and I think sunflower oil. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So if it is trans fat free, then it means the oil in it is healthy.
But then you should also consider the source.
That the product itself is healthy, because we cannot tell what other things have been used. Okay. Another one. Good evening. My name is Amos, and my question is, how many hours does the body take to digest both saturated and unsaturated fats?
I think even looking at the name alone, it tells you saturated will take a very long time, because it has a lot of compounds and a lot of bonds in them. So it will take a longer time to to digest than the unsaturated.
But we can't say that it will take 1 hour or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's saturated, because it's saturated, will take a longer time.
Yeah.
And unsaturated.
Yes. And well, the problem is not actually with the digestion. It's the use of it.
The absorption.
Yes. How it is absorbed and how the body makes use of it.
Okay.
Yes. So with the unsaturated, which are the good ones, the body is able to use them better for good things that will help us
mm-hmm.
more than the saturated ones, because they are difficult to use and they end up causing the problem.
You just listened to a discussion on the topic fats and oils. A continuation will be brought to you later.
Or contributions, you can contact us on +233 244 673528 or 0244 235 017, or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box AF 595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
Voice of Hope.
Of you. And less of me. Lord, I pray that they. Like a grain of wheat that falls to the earth and dies to live anew. All my plans and earthly desires, I lay them down to follow you.
He's waiting and watching, watching for you.
Welcome to Moment of Truth. I'm Kojo Beishi, and today we'll be looking at a very interesting topic, touching the untouchable. Touching the untouchable. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the wonderful things you've done for us and the wonderful privilege of studying your word at this hour. Dear God, we are not competent enough to understand scripture and apply it on our own. And so we pray that you will support us. We are appealing to you, dear Heavenly Father, that you assist us. You bless us with your spirit, the one who teach us, convict us, and convince us of truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, touching the untouchable. We'll be actually focusing on Matthew chapter 8 from verses 1. All the way down to verse 3. But before we can appreciate this portion of scripture, you know, in a very intimate way, we need to understand the backdrop. What happened before this happened? In Matthew chapter 8, we know before 8, Matthew chapter 8 is Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. In all these chapters, Jesus is teaching on the mountainside. In Matthew chapter 5, we read that Jesus went up on the mountainside and then he sits down. And then his disciples came to him and they listened to him as he began to teach them. And Jesus told them about the blessed ones, and then he told them about how they shouldn't worry. And Jesus gave a very long exposition of what he taught them in these three chapters. And then in verse 8, the story starts like this. When Jesus, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, it reads, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, and so now the sermon is over and Jesus is coming down from the mountainside, large crowd followed him. And you understand that Jesus was now the new teacher in town. And so many people, crowds were thronging around him. And already news of his healing ability had spread, had gone all over the place. And so now he was becoming popular, becoming the main figure in these times or this part at these times. And so crowds were thronging around him. And so now Jesus is coming down from the mountainside, and then many people are following him. All sorts of people, men, women, boys, girls, mothers, fathers, all sorts of people are coming down the mountainside with him. And a man with leprosy came and knelt before him. That's what the Bible says. Now, leprosy was a horrible disease at this time. In fact, if you contracted this disease, you were banished. You were taken outside of town, and then you were left to languish in pain until you eventually died. It was the disease without a cure. We could compare it to maybe the HIV today. It was the feared disease of their day. And this man had leprosy. He had been separated from his friends, cast out, banished, sent to the outskirts of the town over there just to, you know, waste away and die. But then he had hope. He had heard of the man who had opened the eyes of the blind. He had heard of the man who had strengthened the legs of the lame man. The man who had healed and restored the hand of the man with the withered hand. He had heard the man who turned water into wine. He had heard so many things, and he had faith in this man. He decided to come into the city, which was prohibited, to seek this man and to ask him to heal him. And so, with crowds of people coming down the mountainside with Jesus Christ, this man shoots through that crowd. And like a bullet, as he passes through this crowd, everybody is dispersing. The entire crowd is dispelled. Everybody is running away in horror and terror. Everybody is covering their noses, running in every direction. Now, leprosy is a horrible disease. It affects your nervous system. Very soon, your fingers begin to fall off. Your nose begins to fall off. And then you have sores all over your body. It's like you are decaying whilst you are still alive and breathing. It's horrible. And so this man is climbing up the mountainside. Jesus is coming down the mountainside. And I'm very sure at this moment in time, Jesus has stopped. Everybody's running away. Mothers are running away. Boys are running away. Fathers are running away. Everybody is going away. And the story continues. A man with leprosy came and knelt down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And so he comes and then he kneels down at Jesus. This man understands humility. And so he kneels down at Jesus because he knows in and of himself this man is superior to him. He knows Jesus is higher than him. And so he admits the lordship of Christ by kneeling down, falling to his knees in front of his Savior. And then he gives a plea. He literally begs Jesus. And says, if you are willing. Now, this man knew a lot of people were not willing to be his friends. A lot of people were not willing to be around him. He knew that. He just saw the crowds going away in fear because of his disease. The entire city put him on the outskirts because they were not willing to live with him. And so he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing. He's not coming to compel Christ and to give him directives and instructions that heal me, no, or make me clean. He says, if you are willing. And so he says, if only you are willing. Now, you see, from this story, we learn a very important lesson. When everyone deserts us, when everyone abandons us, Jesus never leaves. When everyone leaves us, Jesus stays behind. When you make a mistake, when you commit a blunder and everyone abandons you, everyone deserts you, writes you off, Jesus never leaves you. He is always willing. No matter how far you are gone in sin, Jesus is willing to cleanse you. You see, leprosy can be compared to sin. When you read Isaiah chapter 1 verse 6, Isaiah describes the condition of a sinner. And this is what he says. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and bruises and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. And so you see, it is a very, 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 very horrible sight, a gory sight. But Jesus will touch you. If you come to him, if only you are willing, he says, I am willing. If only you take that step and surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he is willing to change you. And so Jesus touched him. Jesus touched his sore-covered body and said, I am willing, be clean. And the Bible tells us that immediately, as soon as those words fell from the lips of Christ, that man was cleansed. His skin was restored. It became like that of a newborn baby. Healthy, healthy. That is what Jesus can do for us. That is what Christ can do in your life. That is what Jesus can do for you today as I speak. He says he is willing. He can touch you. And observe here that Jesus didn't touch him after he healed him. Jesus touched him before, when no one else would touch him. That is where Jesus touched him. Jesus didn't touch him when everyone would come and say, "Wow, you are okay again. Come to my house." No, that's not the time Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him when no one else would touch him. And so today, maybe there's a secret sin in your life you've never shared with anyone, that you've not confessed. Maybe you did it last night. Maybe there's a part of your life you've been hiding from everyone around you, or a certain sin you've been indulging in the secrecy, or in your own privacy, in the secrecy of your privacy. Jesus is calling you. Bring it to me. Come just as you are. Just as you are, come. And Jesus promised that he will touch you. Jesus says that he is willing. All you have to do is also be willing. Decide to stop that sin. Decide to put it away and come to Jesus. Decide to let go of it, to abandon it, and come to Christ. And he will give you the strength you need. He'll give you the power you require to change if you will come to him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. We decided to come with our sins. We know we will not live with our sins. That's why we are coming with them. And so Jesus, please forgive us. 1 John 1:9, you assure us that if we confess, you forgive. So Jesus, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us, make us white as snow, and empower us to abstain from sin, empower us to be free from sin. In Jesus Christ's name we've prayed.
Thank you very much for staying with us. Once again, you can reach us on
+233 244 673528
or 0244 235 017, or email us at radio@vvu.edu.gh or through the postal address Adventist World Radio Ghana, P.O. Box A5595, Adenta, Greater Accra Region, Ghana. We will expect your feedback.
AWR Ghana, Voice of Hope.
I believe today's magazine has been a blessing. May the good Lord's hand be in your life. Amen. Remember to tune in same time tomorrow. Bye for now.